PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
I know nobody would ask me who that is. That's the great Nina Simone with Revolution. It's from her 1969 album, To Love Somebody. This is Lead Stories. I'm your Trace Lead. And we close out the year today and take inventory a little bit. Nothing really major is planned, except that you will tell us what you think are the things that comprise unfinished business from your point of view, important things that you think still did not get done, not even until today. But we do have some indications that things are heating up for 2020. We have Elizabeth Warren declaring today that she's a candidate. She's a senator, for U.S. senator from Massachusetts, and she has declared that she'll be a candidate in 2020. Well, it's going to get more vigorous as time goes by. But as we close out the year, we take inventory, as I said, of unfinished business in 2018 that we expect or we would like to be priority items in the new year, including for yourself. It's not just for the nation, but for ourselves. There are a lot of things that I think we need to commit to, or in some cases, recommit to. A new way of moving and thinking and acting. Because as we see, we are facing formidable foes. They seem to be everywhere. And they seem to share one common agenda, and that is to put our lights out. So we should move forward, but in a thinking, thoughtful way, in a way that helps us see some kind of hope on the horizon, and understanding that we, you and I, are responsible for creating that new reality. I don't want us to, in the new year, play the blame game. You know, that's what's going on in Congress now. Everybody's pointing the finger at everybody else. But in the meantime, the people, and I'm hoping those ardent supporters of the president have gotten that message. While they're playing games, people are really suffering. This temporary or... I don't know if it's going to be temporary or not, shutdown of the government. As you will see, the members of Congress have exempted themselves, as has the president. They continue to get paid. But now Trump is talking about, you know, really going in against federal workers. It's madness. It's absolute madness in Washington. But it's not like we didn't see it coming, you see. We're 2 years into what was clearly visible, you know, in 2016 and even before that. But we saw it. We called it right on this program several times. We pointed to the fact that this president has got big problems that have gone unattended for all these years. And he's become the big bad bully. Nobody wants to take him on. Everybody's ducking. And the problems continue to, you know, stack one on top of the other. We shouldn't be surprised if tomorrow he declares war on Japan again, just to say, well, I didn't like the way it went the first time. This is a crazy period to be in. And so we should expect that we have to be involved some way, somehow, of fixing the problem that we are experiencing. We have to do that. Now, what exactly does that involve? First, it involves a lot of thinking. What strategies do we use? How do we see the problems? What will be the priorities for us? What are the things that we can do within our capacity, within even our limitations? But what can we do? And more importantly, how do we protect ourselves? How do we secure our survival? I keep hammering this point. Our survival, our collective and individual survival, are on the line. So, is on the line, sorry. So we should be thinking these things. So, we're just talking today about what we consider to be unfinished business that you would like, if all things, you know, were bright and wonderful next year, which is a couple of days away, we would like to see adopted as priority items in our spheres of influence and in our communities. What should we adopt as priority items as we start out the new year? 888-874-4888 is the number to call. And we start off with Jay from New York. Hello, Jay. How are you?
Hello, Utrice. I'd like to wish you a happy New Year's. I hope that you are able to enjoy the bringing in of the New Year the best way possible, along with the listening audience, and that we have a better New Year next year, more productive New Year next year, and hopefully take the world in a better place. As far as next year goes, I would just like to see some sort of stability in regards to the dealings with both parties in government. I think that it's going to be a real contentious time coming up within the next month because of the unstable behavior of 45, his inability to be reasoned with, his inability to process information, the type of people that surround him. And now you having someone like Mrs. Pelosi and Schumer and the other wackos in the Democratic Party trying to gain some sort of power and harm the man in the process. Now, all of that will go to do nothing but further destabilize the mental state of this man, which will cause all sorts of havoc. I would hope, and I know people are going to disagree with this, I hope they would move forward lightly with this clown, because I do not think that he's the type of person, when his back gets up against the wall, will react in the type of manner that will be productive for this country. And it's going to happen, because the investigations are going to finish up. The reports are going to be put out there, and the blowback from that is going to be untelling. He's going to be under constant investigations. You're going to have someone like Pelosi who could basically manipulate and toy with him at best. And in the process, a lot of things may happen to us that we may not be observing and being aware of, like the attack on the social safety nets within this country, and all sorts of other little things, like little wars popping up, you know, just things that we won't be looking at and having to honestly deal with because of the shenanigans that will be happening between, you know, Pelosi and the clown in office. So I think we need to keep our eyes and ears open and try to stay on top of all things within the government. And then also, right, we need to figure out how we can improve our own lives spiritually, financially. So I hope we move forward in that direction, just figuring out how to make a better lives for ourselves and our family members, and keeping track of what's going on surrounding us, and especially in the government. So, I wish you the best, and much love to you, my sister.
Thank you. I think you just ended the program today. There's no more to be said. Thank you so much for your contribution today, and I think you're right on point. We have a lot of work to do. We shouldn't become discouraged. That's the main thing. We should maintain a fighting spirit, but we should be alert. That was one of the things that you stressed. We have to be mindful, more mindful, about how things are unfolding and their likely impact. But we also have to be prepared to see to our interests. Thank you, Jay, for getting us started today. 888-874-4888. We're talking about what, as we tally up the current year, this is the last day of the current year, what do you see as unfinished business, big time unfinished business that should dominate our attention in the coming year? And personally, for each of us, what do you see as priorities for us? And with regard to the big plan of securing ourselves, of seeing to our interests and securing ourselves. How is that going to work, you think? Do you see us moving away from the established model? Or do you see us coming up with something new? Do you see us going through a revolution as Nina Simone is singing about? The Constitution will have to bend, she says. Is that possible? Do you see that as being on the horizon? I don't know. But let's hear what you're thinking on this, the last day of December 2018. Is it? Yes. 888. These days, I'll tell you a story. There are times, this is my own weird rhythm, I can go for quite a long time on a truncated schedule. But then all of a sudden, I get swamped with the need to sleep. And I could sleep for 2-3 days straight. And this happened to me this week. I did a Rip Van Winkle. I slept from one day straight into the other, and I woke up at the end of the day, and I was so confused. I couldn't tell what day it was and what time it was. Even though I'm staring at the clock, I couldn't tell. And my watch says it was one day, but I wasn't sure. Very confusing. But it was so good to be able to just give myself totally to just sleeping. Clara from Philly, you're on the air. Hello, Clara?
Hi. Hello, I'm here. Hello.
Okay, we're hearing you.
Yeah, good to hear you. It's good to talk again to people of like minds. I wanted to ask you, clarify something you said before I go ahead and disagree with it. I want to make sure. Did you when you said that we are not responsible, did you say you're not responsible for things that are going on today in Washington, or did I misunderstand you?
No, I'm saying that there are some things that we are not at all responsible for. We're not responsible for it, but they're happening anyway. So how do we cope with that? Look at the crazy policies that are being enacted. We're not responsible for any of them.
Well,
but they are being enacted. So what is our response to be in a situation where things are happening, policies are being made and they're being enacted, much to our collective detriment? But what is the proper way? Have we found a way yet to respond? And how soon can we fashion some method of response? What has to happen for that to happen?
Well, I actually disagree with your premise, Yatrice, that we're not responsible for what's going on now. All those years that we've let things just occur, situations after situation, we've ignored first of all, the military, the major military offenses done in our behalf, the degradation of the educational system, the corruption of everything. We just let things happen over decades.
I agree. I don't disagree
and
at all.
The people,
I believe exactly what you're saying.
The American people are too afraid to give up what they have. I see they because I don't feel that way, and I know other people who are willing to sacrifice their personal comfort to actually live in different ways and influence other people and to point things out. And more we're feeling like isolates. People in this country have become so disconnected with their own well-being. That's where the lack of compassion comes in. If you don't care enough to take care of yourself, how can you have compassion for other people? What about all those people that we're responsible for killing? We're responsible for Syria. We're responsible for Africa. They have lived off the bounty of those countries for the whole history of this country. Everybody's responsible, and everyone's going to pay. Unfortunately, I don't see anybody doing anything. Still thinking about two parties. What's Nancy Pelosi saying? What's that woman who can't stand, hasn't seen a vaccine she didn't like, up from Massachusetts or wherever she's from, the fake Indian? I can't think of her name. I despise her so much. But anyway, I think that the way we have to do it is to withdraw. But we can't, because people love to be fed. They love to be entertained. They love to be driven around. And they love to go into debt to pay.
Let me just clarify. Perhaps I didn't come across too clearly. When I say it's not our fault what is happening, I don't mean that it's not our fault. I mean that in the strict sense. This cabal in Washington, D.C., and in other places, in city hall and county governments and so forth, we have the emergence of government absolutely disconnected from and absolutely against the wishes and will of the people. We have a line, a hard line that has been drawn. And that gives them the freedom to do whatever they want to do. When a president could wake up and just decide, well, hey, I want a wall. I don't care what you think. I don't care what the process is. I don't care what debates have to be held. I don't care what committee has to entertain the idea. I'm the president. I can stick my hand into the till and get $5 billion or $100 billion or how many billions he wants for his wall. And we know what it is. The wall is, on one hand, his excuse for saying that this is about national security. The other part of it is just not being expressed, and we know, or we could strongly suspect, this is a major construction contract. He's in the construction business. So we understand how all this works, but when I say we're not responsible, I think we have to also develop a consciousness of what, even though you're absolutely right, you're on point, that we allowed by our inaction, we allowed so many things to happen that in the end have come back to hurt us. But I'm saying, okay, we have to start now. Now is a starting point. Well, what do we do from this point on?
Over the holidays, you saw what people did. We saw what people did. It's business as usual as far as the American people are concerned. Business as usual. I understand your concern and you're very assertive in your attempt to bring people to the consciousness of there being something that they need to do. But I think until people recognize their own responsibility for being here anyway, before you can do anything to correct something, you have to assume responsibility. And even in your personal life, in your social life, and in your political life, the American people aren't assuming responsibility for any of the dire deeds that they have done, that have been done in their name. All right, what about my 4 acres and a mule? What about all these trees with the Native Americans that have been broken? That's the way the country runs, and I don't think most people want anything different because they're comfortable. And it's going to drive us. He is driving us to destruction. Maybe that's what has to happen. It's like a rotten core. What do you do with an apple that's rotten? Do you try to eat around the edges or do you throw it away?
Well, sobering thoughts, Clara. And I thank you very much for offering them and reminding us that we really do have to keep our eyes on the prize. And we really do have to admit where we have failed collectively, where we have betrayed. It wasn't too long ago that we had an entirely different attitude as a collective. We had an entirely different attitude, and it did result in some movement forward. So we have to re-examine how far we have slipped and what we need to do now to regather ourselves, because more than ever in recent times, it's important for us to have unity. It is important for us to have some kind of ongoing dialogue about what we can do. But you're absolutely right. No bones to pick with anything that you said today. And that's quite the usual from you. Thank you so much for calling. Yes. Hardly.
Happy New Year, you three. Be healthy.
Thank you.
That's all we have responsibility for, all we have control over, really. Take care, hon.
Thank you, Clara. 888-874-4888 is the number to call as we close out the year and we tally up the ledger. What do we see as unfinished business? And how do we get it put back on the agenda in the new year? Things that didn't get done this year. What would you say are those things? And is it possible to get them done? You know what? Let's get Nina Simone to give us a little res, give us a little energy push right now, and we'll come back and talk right after that. Oh, hello? Anybody home?
No one's there.
No one's there. I'm talking about Nina Simone. I just take a break. Is the number to call. And, you know, it would be a good thing to hear from you about your thoughts at this particular time. What are you thinking? How are you coasting from one year to the other? What is in your mind, in the uppermost chambers of your mind, as things that you want to accomplish in the new year? And what do you see as the challenges? We're going to go ahead one way or the other. We're going to go ahead, but I'm interested in where your head is at right now. Do you feel hopeful? Do you feel apprehensive? Do you feel defeated? Or do you feel that we have something to do? We have work to do. We may not know yet how to get it done, but we know that we have something to do and it must be done. 888-874-4888. We'll take this break and come back to you and your thoughts right after Nina. What's going on with Nina? Why aren't we hearing Nina? It's like an old vaudeville act. Is Nina Simone queued up and ready to go? I seem to have been cut off here. What's All right, John from New Jersey. Are you there, John? Actually,
yes.
There?
I'm here. Oh. I'm here.
Okay, John, let's go. What are you thinking?
I'm watching myself, and I am actually here. So.
Well, what do you see?
My problems can't be finished before midnight tonight.
No.
Problems, I think it begins with Remember the Maine. I think it remembers it's the Bay of Tonkin. I think it's the assassination of JFK, the assassination of his brother, the assassination of Martin Luther King, the assassination of, oh, God. His name just blew. He's one on my hero list. Hopefully I remember him when I come back. The fact that we still haven't solved any of these crimes. We know we've been lied to, blatantly lied to. We had our country set up by Wall Street. They stole everything that we have. They're in the process of setting us up again. We're starting wars all over the damn place. And the one that gets me the most is the one that's most obvious, and that is 9/11. Everyone in their heart of hearts knows that some people who weren't in a position to do it and get away with it did this. And we know that I personally honestly believe that it was a false flag, a terrorist attack, so that they could have a coup and take over the country. I'm surprised martial law hasn't been put into effect already, so they could come kick my door down and put me away because I have the audacity to actually complain about the fact that these murdering criminals get away with it all the time. It's just mind-boggling to me that this continues to go on. It's this guy we have in the presidency, who the hell knows? I mean, would he come in here in a donkey? It's beyond belief that this is the position that supposedly the most powerful country in the world is in at this point in time.
Let me ask you, in your view then, if this is going to be looked at above and beyond previous quote, investigations, unquote, what has to happen?
What has to happen? People have to start calling liars liars and throw them their butts into jail. People have to start prosecuting murderers and put them up against the wall if need be. Meanwhile, we have this tremendous military money going all into this military. It's not to fight a war with somebody else. It's to fight a war with us. That's what they're setting us up for, so that they can, in fact, take this scar.
Yes, but you're not answering the question. What beyond what has already been done?
You want me to say that word so that they can immediately come over here and take me down? Is that what you want me to say? It's an R word. You know, one of the things I admire the French for was the French Revolution. They said enough is enough, and they actually did something about it. That's what needs to be done. With that, I'm going to say goodbye and go and hide and get a disguise and change my name or something, because I just don't see any other way. There's no, we can't, it certainly can't be done within this two-party system. Yes, two parties, two bunches of morons being taken by the people who run the banks, so to speak. Other than that, I'm looking forward to some champagne tonight. How about you?
I don't drink, but there's apple cider or something. I'll see if I can get some. Thank you, John, for contributing today. Lisa, also from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Hi, Utrecht.
Hello.
Hi, this is my first time calling. I've been a long-time listener, but this is my first time calling, and I so appreciate all that you contribute. I guess for me,
I'm glad that
Thank
you called
you.
In.
Thank you. Going into the new year, one thing that is really important to me, and you have emphasized this, Gary emphasizes the importance of taking care of our health. I grew up on the traditional American diet. I was a junk food junkie, sugar addict, and just as a result of listening to Gary, I've done 180-degree turnaround. Today, I eat a healthy plant-based diet, and it has definitely made a big difference in terms of how I feel. I just think that's so important because, you know, like with Obamacare, you know, health is failing in this country. And I just feel like it's so important for us to take charge of our health. You know, for me, I feel like I can't be productive in other areas of my life if I'm not even healthy. You know, my head's not clear because my head is filled with sugar. So I think that's very important. And also, just in terms of supporting PRN, that's one of the things that I plan to do going into the new year, actually supporting it financially. I've actually stopped. I don't even listen to mainstream media anymore because there's just their lies. You know, it's, you know, they're either supporting the Democrats or the Republicans, and I know I can't get the truth. So for me, I come to PRN to get the truth. And I've just made a commitment that for myself, I'm going to, you know, contribute whatever I can financially to keep the station going, because I feel like you all do a tremendous public service and I really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Keeps me going when people think that we're doing good work, and that's really what we're trying to do.
Absolutely.
To do good work and do it consistently.
Yes. You know? I mean, you all have opened up my mind so much. I mean, I realized how conditioned I was in terms of, you know, just vote Democrat. You know, I'm African American. My family, we vote Democrat. You know, and I just, I see how conditioned I was. I mean, I voted for Barack Obama in 2008, but I did not vote for him in 2012. And when I told people that I didn't vote for him, they looked at me like I was crazy, like, you're African American. How can you not vote for Barack Obama? But it was because of, you know, listening to PRN and saying, like, this man, you know, like, he's a puppet. You know, he is a puppet for Wall Street. He's not, you know, the African American community. You know, we were his main constituents getting him into office, and, you know, he didn't do anything to help the African American community. I was out one day and this man cut me off and he rolled down his window and he was yelling at me and he said, you know, you're not in the White House anymore. And I was like, oh my God, you know, like, do people think that because I'm African American, I'm that invested in Obama not being in the White House anymore? I said, this is crazy. So anyway, I just feel like as a result of listening to the station, it's definitely made a tremendous impact in my life. And I'm appreciative.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Lisa. And you'll find that in the new year, we'll ramp things up. In fact, there will be some e-books that Gary has recommended pertaining to health. And I'll be introducing them in the new year, very soon. And it's a new way to get information, but it's really worth it. It really is worth it. Thanks a lot for your call today. Donald from Georgia, you're on the air.
Yeah, Hotep, you cheese.
Thank you. Hotep to you.
I myself, personally, I'm retired disability, and my goal was to get myself economically straight as much as possible. My wife and I has paid off, paid the house off, paid the cars off, so we don't have real debt. It's just minor debt that we have. And second thing, I've been trying to work on my health. I had two strokes in 2006 in the same morning. In 2012, I was diagnosed with autoimmune disease, and I'm pretty much working on that. The doctors are amazed at how I am, so I'm working on my health. But what I'm trying to understand, and maybe you can help me with this, I think most of our people's problems stem from a lack of feeling worthy of being free. Let's say something like self-hate. I feel that if we love ourselves, then we can handle better whatever comes forth. Because I believe that if you love yourself, you take care of yourself. You take care of economics, you take care of your education, and etc. But if you don't love yourself, whatever else somebody else says, will do. So I'm trying to figure out a way, how can I get our people to love themselves? And it's, you know, I don't have a clue other than when I'm out, just talk to people, ask them, do you really love yourself? Do you think we're free? Do you think we deserve to be free? You know, how can we straighten our situation out if you think our situation needs to be straightened out? But I think that is a major issue among our folks.
Well, it is consistent. All oppressed people experience something like it. The not loving themselves, because that's the nature of oppression. Oppression targets people to separate themselves from themselves, because you can't be healthy and be oppressed.
Right.
If you're healthy, physically healthy, mentally healthy, psychologically and emotionally healthy, spiritually healthy, you are one of the most difficult targets to oppress.
Right.
So this is a function. It's not unique to blacks. It really isn't.
Yeah.
That we see in societies all around the world, and let's take right here for an example, we see the rapid rise again of the haves,
right,
and the pounding of the have-nots. And we're seeing the fallout. People are doing really unimaginable violence to themselves and to their families and in their communities that seem to be out of control. And that is a function of what happens when you have a system of oppression. I talk about systems all the time. We may not be conscious of it. We just, get up and we try to go about our business every day. But there are systems in place that are planning to get you out of your community, planning to get you out of your house, planning to make it hard for you to hold on to your house.
Right.
Planning for you to not have a job, planning for your children not to have good schools. And if we took some time and understood how systems work to keep us oppressed, that's what oppression really is. It gets you depressed. It gets you to see no way out. It gets you to lose sight even of your own talents and skills and any possibility that life could be better. It's just one long tunnel to nowhere. So what you're sharing with us today, Donald, is your own individual work and your own individual story about resisting what was planned for you. It was planned for you to be in debt. It was planned for you to not own a home. It was planned for you to be unemployed forever. But, probably you didn't sit down with pen and paper at the kitchen table and wrote it out this way, but you were responding intuitively. You knew that this was what you had to do for what? For survival. Many of us have lost the will even to survive. We just live day to day, minute to minute, hour by hour, and we have no plan. And we have nobody to help us make a plan. So a lot of us are just lost. This was the point of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and our many, many leaders who essentially presented plans to us and said, you could try this. The main thing is that you should be liberated. And here's plan A. You could try this, and this is what will happen if you stay with it consistently. You can try plan B, but we're not listening. We have not paid attention to the plans. We have lots and lots of plans available. Nobody's paying attention.
Well, see, that's what I'm talking about. Our ancestors left us lots of plans, and most of them are in books, and now they're on YouTube. And I be talking to these folks, and it seems like they just give up. You know, they tell me the white man always has and always will. And I said, that's not the case. And they look at me like I'm crazy, like I'm getting on their nerves. Sometimes when they see me walking in, they get up and walk away, you know.
But you understand what is happening, though.
Yeah.
You shouldn't take it personally. Embody, what you, in and of yourself, what you represent, is a success that should be more and more prevalent in our communities. You own your own home. That is an emphatic statement right there. This is nothing new, but it is new, if you understand what I'm saying. In our time now, it's no big deal to own a home. Back in the day, when people were climbing out of a conscious oppression, they were conscious of it, the first thing that they wanted was land and a place to build a house. I talked recently about the phenomenon of Detroit. We did a presentation, my friend Abayomi Azikiwe, talking about how Detroit had an 84% black home ownership. 84%. That is phenomenal. And now it's completely the opposite. It has been systematically emptied. So we have gone through the full cycle of it. It is time for people to return. And what they need is a kind of encouragement and consistent talking to, a consistent conversation. And then, as with you, consistency of example. We don't have many examples in our communities for the things that we need to do to achieve self-sufficiency, self-respect, independence. We don't have much of that. So bear that in mind. You will be resented. That's natural. It's nothing personal. It's nothing personal. Because people would not want to hear how much time and effort and energy and labor and sacrifice went into achieving the goals you achieved, because we just don't want to hear it. We want, if you were saying instead, I could make you a rap star in 2 weeks. Now you got their interest. Even if it may never, ever work. People's heads are in different places. And the nature of the challenge for us is that we have so many obstacles in our path to reaching people and continuing the work that others had done in the 50s and 60s. And even before that, we have a lot of work to do. And we can't get discouraged. But you have to be prepared. It's the kind of business it is. People will resent you for helping them.
Okay.
But don't get discouraged. Just keep on. Because you may not know it, but people might be observing you and learning by example. If you're not directly teaching, but you're teaching by example. So don't get discouraged at all.
Patrice, can I ask you one more question? It's kind of weird. Have you read Michelle Obama's book?
No.
Okay, because I've a lot of people have read it, and I go on Facebook sometimes, and according to them, she says some very disturbing things about strong black men, particularly Dr. Jeremiah Wright. So I just wonder if that's true or not. I haven't read the book either.
No, when these kinds of books come out, I immediately understand certain things. One is that the book got incredible backing because they had the political clout. She and her husband had the political clout to situate themselves, to get the proper representation and promotion, and even writers. I don't think that Michelle Obama wrote every word in this book. So they fashioned, the book is a product that they fashioned, and they have an elaborate marketing scheme which will assure the book doing very well, which it is. It's sold almost 1.5 million copies now. It assures them another level of revenue because the book is now going to be tied to interviews, and the interviews are going to be tied to lectures, which there's lots and lots and lots of money. The Obamas have negotiated a deal with Netflix. They have other publishing deals. So they're set. They've hired the right people, or the right people have hired themselves to them, and they will be marketed and doing a fabulous job. But I remember the Michelle Obama of a couple of years ago going to Chicago and proposing that what needs to happen, or what she's willing to do, is to build a bunch of basketball courts. And that, she thought, was an appropriate answer for teenage violence and crime. Get some basketball courts. And I thought that was quite a shocking response. So I'll wait, you know, whenever it's free or close to free. If I feel like reading it, I will. But I'm not particularly interested in books like that because they're not critically written. She's not going to say anything bad about herself or her husband. She's not going to say anything bad or damning or about the Democratic Party or about the Clintons. Nothing. So I'm not too enthusiastic about running out and getting a copy of the book. Whenever, it shows up someplace in the library somewhere, and if I have some time and want to do a little bit of reading, I might take a look at it, but I'm not interested.
Okay.
Thanks, Donald, for your call.
Thank you.
Gino from the Bronx, you have a little bit of time, but you're on the air.
Hi, Patrice.
Hello.
Season's greetings and all those good things.
Thank you, and same to you.
Thank you. Listen, folks, get your pencils. I got some recommendations for some really inspiring movies, and keep your Kleenex nearby. Very inspiring for the spirit. Persistency and consistency of information coming in to guide us in a good direction. Got him? Got it? Okay, so first of all, yeah, thanks for waking up all of us from debt's out of door, sleep. And that's minor but important form of resurrection. Well, you were 3 days sleeping, you trees.
Okay. Two and a half.
You have to go. Okay, so here they are. Number one, my movie recommendation is The Shack. Do you know this movie? The Shack, S-H-A-C-K, with Octavia Spencer. Deals with the biggest tragedy somebody could have in a family, and how grace and very much more compassionate, deeper insight perception of God comes through in it. It was written, a book was written by a man for his family, 15 copies, because he knew he won't be here one day. It ends up, somebody says, publish it, sells 20 million copies, gets made into a movie, and I highly recommend it. For people with kids, The Prince, The Little Prince, it's a cartoon, but it points out the most important things are the invisible, just like we're talking on the radio. We don't see each other. Our minds, our spirits, the invisible things are the most important. Number three, The War Room, how to deal with what we're up against and how to, well, in that case, it gives you information, how to read some information, but along with Gary's show and your show, shows how to apply it in a more tuned-up way with the nutritional information and, of course, the meditative techniques. Time out? Time out?
Unfortunately, we ran out of time.
All right, it's okay. I'm glad I got through. I tried for three, almost 4 weeks, you trees. So to be continued, I wish you all a
yes.
blessed, healthy, spirited, and wealthy in all ways. And good people need money because they share it ways. So thank you.
Thank you. And that brings us to the end of the program. Have yourselves a very, I should say, peaceful and contented transition into the new year. And we'll talk to each other again very soon. Bye-bye.